Warm greetings, friends, near and far. This is Sinner Saved coming at you, and the following short evangelical gospel message is sponsored by Preacher Wayne Boyd and the Brethren at First Baptist Church, located in Almont, Michigan, USA. And God willing, this broadcast will reach you, Lima Charlie, loud and clear. It is my hope and prayer unto God Most High, the only Holy Father, that His only begotten Son, Christ Jesus, the Lord our righteousness, be greatly exalted, that His everlasting gospel be clearly proclaimed, that the pride of mere flesh and blood men be humbled, and that His elect saints be greatly encouraged and comforted in these perilous days. Please consider having paper and pencil handy to jot down the scriptural references for your own follow-up study. And so, we begin with the weekend gospel message to follow for all hands. Heads up! Please find enclosed encouragement in so great salvation by the perfect and finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ in saving poor, needy, and wretched sinners by His sovereign free grace. That is to say, Almighty God and His unmerited favor to save me and you from our sins and from hell. The natural humanistic tendency to do something, no matter how great or small, will be the idol that will remain the most precious to the unbeliever until and unless Almighty God defeats them by powerfully giving them life to simply believe on Christ alone for their righteousness. That was from Preacher Scott Price. Those who look to Christ alone for the forgiveness of sin find all their sins forgiven, pardoned, put away, made an end of, remitted, and that justly. God is righteous to forgive the sins of those whose sins Christ bore in His body on the tree. My sin, not in part but the whole, was nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And that short message was from Preacher Gary Shepherd. Who killed the Lord Jesus Christ? Many would answer that the unbelieving Jews and the ungodly Romans were to blame, and it is true that they were to blame. But as fallen sinners who by nature do not believe or esteem Christ, we are all to blame. Please see Isaiah 53, verses 1 through 4. Read the following statement from Preacher Tim James, quote, "As far as humanity's guilt in the attempted homicide of Christ is concerned, the crime scene was covered with the fingerprints of the entire human race." See Acts 4:27. Both Jews and Gentiles and their respective governments were culpable in the crucifixion of our Lord, end quote. We are all born into this world as fallen sinners in rebellion against the Lord God and His way of salvation by His grace in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, and based on His shed blood and righteousness imputed. God's word describes us as those who by nature hate the light and love darkness. See John 3:19-20, as unregenerate people who will not believe the things of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:14, and as those who by nature reject Christ and go about to trying to establish their own righteousness before God. See Romans 10:1-3. And as those who walk in an evil spirit that works in the children of disobedience. Ephesians 2:1-4. This links us with the very people who stood in Jerusalem choosing to spare a murderer like Barabbas and crying out to crucify the Lord of glory, the perfect God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. The moment in our lives that we begin seeking to establish a righteousness of our own and reject the gospel of God's grace which reigns through the righteousness of God in Christ, we identified ourselves in the unholy alliance of sinners who desired to kill the Lord of glory. We were just as much participants in the death of Christ as if we were physically there with all who stood against Him. Acts 4:26 through 27. But as sad as this fact is, there is some good news in all this tragedy. It is the fact that the death of Christ was purposed before the foundation of the world for the redemption and eternal salvation of all whom God chose and gave to Christ before the world began. In fact, God overruled our sin to accomplish His purpose of saving His chosen people from their sin. Please see Acts 2:23, Acts 4:28, Ephesians 1:4-6, and finally 2 Timothy 1:9-10. In our rebellion, in what we did in murdering Jesus of Nazareth, we meant it for evil. But God meant it for His glory and the good of His people. And it pleased the Lord to bruise him, to establish a righteousness by which God is just to justify and to give life to sinners like us. Isaiah 53:10-12. So, as Christ's blood is on our hands, He appears for us, God's elect that is, before the throne of God's justice and mercy, and by His blood we are justified. Revelation 5:9-12. And that was from preacher Bill Barker. The glorious and beautiful garments wherein Aaron did minister did hold forth the infinite purity and transcendent excellency and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom only God is well pleased. The onyx stones, wherein the names of the children of Israel were engraved, were put upon the shoulder pieces of the ephod to teach that true Israel indeed are kept by the power of the Lord Jesus through faith unto salvation. 1 Peter 1:5. For He is the wisdom and the power of God unto salvation in all that do believe. 1 Corinthians 1:24. The 12 precious stones which were set with the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment did declare that spiritual Israel in Christ were a precious people. 1 Peter 2:9. In the judgment and esteem of God. Malachi 3:17. The curious girdle wherewith all those goodly garments were girded to the priest did hold forth the faithfulness and truth of God in making good all His promises in Christ. Hebrews 10:23. In whom all the promises of God are yea and amen. 2 Corinthians 1:20. And that short message was from the old-timer preacher William Mason. Come, let us sing the song of songs, the glory which to Christ belongs. The host of heaven began the strain, worthy the Lamb, for He was slain. Slain to redeem us by His blood, and make us kings and priests to God, to cleanse from every sinful strain. Worthy the Lamb, for He was slain. Among a thousand hearts and songs, His sacred name fills all our tongues. All power in heaven and earth proclaim, worthy the Lamb, for He was slain. Long as I live and when I die, this song of songs shall be my cry. And while in heaven with Him I reign, worthy the Lamb, for He was slain. And that was from the old hymn entitled Doxology. How astonishing it is that one who is forever blessed and is infinitely and essentially happy should endure the greatest sufferings that ever were endured. How astonishing it is that one who is the supreme Lord and Judge of the world should be arraigned and stand at the judgment seat of mortal worms and then be condemned. How astonishing it is that one who is the living God and the fountain of all life should be put to death. How astonishing it is that one who created the world and gives life to all His creatures should be put to death by His own creatures. How astonishing it is that one of infinite majesty and glory, and so the object of the love, praises, and adoration of angels, should be mocked and spit upon by the vilest of men. How astonishing it is that one who is infinitely good and who is love itself, should suffer the greatest cruelty. How astonishing it is that one who is infinitely beloved by the Father should be put to inexpressible anguish under his own Father's wrath. How astonishing it is that one who is the King of heaven, who has heaven for his throne and earth for his footstools, should be buried in the dungeon of the grave. How astonishing is all of this! And yet, this is the way that God's wisdom has fixed upon as the way of sinners' salvation, and neither unsuitable nor dishonorable to Christ. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. 1 John 3:1. And that was from another old-time preacher, Jonathan Edwards. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there have I, as vile as he, washed all my sins away. Dear dying lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Ere since by faith I saw the stream thy flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme, and shall be till I die. When this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, then in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll sing thy power to save. And that was from Brother William Cowper a few hundred years ago. It is written in Isaiah 45:22, where our Lord Jesus Christ commands, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." And the Master says in Matthew 11:28-30, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Friends, it is imperative that you flee to Christ Jesus today, not tomorrow, for none of us are promised another day on this earth. Today is the day of salvation. Call upon the name of the Lord while he may be found and while he is near. Only by being in Christ, the ark of our salvation, may we be delivered from the fierce wrath of Almighty God, which is coming soon upon the wicked. This about wraps up this evening's broadcast. I trust Almighty God will awaken his sleeping elect and draw multitudes of men, women, and children from amongst every tribe, tongue, nation, and people around the world, near and far. He's going to draw them to his only begotten Son, Christ Jesus, the Lord our righteousness. Yehovah Tzidkenu. Please feel free to write. If you'd like to communicate, the address is thelordbemagnified@gmail.com. Thank you for tuning in, friends. Great is our Lord Jesus Christ, and greatly to be praised. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Maranatha!